srn.org.
Another small South Dakota town. He attended the Unity Fest to offer an economic opportunity for those who'd like to be part of a community kitchen, a way to help food industry entrepreneurs start their own business. Diggs feels the problems in small towns across South Dakota are the same, regardless of where they're located. But, says Diggs, there is a real solution beyond the racial harmony rhetoric of local politicians.
Where the rubber meets the road is where individuals have history and do something with each other. It's the same thing we do when we play basketball together and we have work projects together. If I work with you and I sweat with you and I share a common history of trying to create something with you, it forms a bond that no amount of intellectual discussion can ever duplicate.
As Kevin Locke points out, the key to unity in Mobridge or anywhere is what we take away from our interactions with those of other cultures. For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Jim Kent in Mobridge, South Dakota.
Free Speech Radio News is produced at Pacifica Stations WBAI in New York and KPFA in Berkeley, and community radio station WMNF in Tampa, Florida. FSRN is a worker-run collective, and for more information, visit our website at www.fsrn.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook.
Free Speech Radio News is made possible in part by an underwriting grant from the Graduate Student Organization at Stony Brook University. This edition of Free Speech Radio News will be rebroadcast tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. here at WUSB Stony Brook.
Yeah, and right now it's 6 o'clock, which means it's time for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. And to make up for last week, where we forgot to play the Tommy Chong piece of the week as a tribute to his being imprisoned, we're going to play two of them this week. And as luck would have it, they follow each other perfectly. In fact, you might not even be able to tell that these are two different pieces. That's how well they seg together. So if you can tell, all the better. But if not, you might even enjoy it more. And after we pay tribute to Tommy Chong, who is languishing in prison. I believe he's languishing in prison. Someone told me that he's doing a tour of some sort, that he's appearing someplace. How could he be appearing someplace if he's in prison? I don't know. And for those who don't know, Tommy Chong is the half of the comedy duo Cheech and Chong, who was sent to prison, or sentenced to prison, for selling bongs over the internet, something that many of us do. Well, maybe not many of us do, but lots of us, lots of people out there are, you know, well, let's not pursue that. The point is, sending somebody to prison for selling bongs on the internet does not seem like the kind of thing that you should be sent to prison for. I mean, we could argue about the whole drug thing, about whether or not pot should be legal, or whether or not certain other kinds of drugs should be illegal, or just what the age that people should be able to imbibe certain substances is. But that's not the point. The point is, this guy was selling something that could be used for all kinds of different purposes, and because some narrow-minded bureaucrat someplace thought, hey, the only purpose for this thing is to smoke illegal drugs, we're going to send him to prison to send a message. And because of the way that he made fun of us in the past, back in the 70s on those record albums, we're going to get even now. And that's what this is all about. But if the guy's not in prison, we shouldn't be doing this. So if somebody can tell me, you know, if he's actually walking around free on appeal or something like that, you know, the point is we're going to run out of material before he actually gets to prison then. And we want to make sure that we have enough to sort of keep the vigil going until he gets out. And if he never goes, all the better. But anyway, so enough of a lead-in. This is Cheech and Chong from 1973, which I guess is when they were at their peak. And, of course, the deep voice guy is Chong, and the other voice is Cheech Marin, who has gone on to successful careers in such programs as Nash Bridges, I believe, and many other things. And we'll be back right after this.
Strawberry, wake up. Hey, Joey, did you see my pills, man?
What pills, man?
Well, I had a bunch of downs, man.
Far out, man. You had some downs and you weren't even going to share them with us.
Hey, man, I was going to share them with everybody before we went to the concert, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, then how come you had them hidden in your sleeping bag, man?
Hey, man, what are you doing in my sleeping bag, man?
I was looking for my Black Sabbath record, man, which I found.
Hey, man, that's my Black Sabbath record, man.
It is not, man.
It is so, man.
It is not,
man. It is so, man.
It is not, man.
Yes, it is, man.
That's my record. My old lady ripped it off, man.
Hey, man, if you remember, man, she was my old lady when she ripped it off, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, man.
Well, it's my record now, man.
Hey, well, just stay out of my room, man.
What do you mean your room, man? This is a front room and anybody can come in here.
Hey, man, the part between the tie-dye curtain and the two bricks is my room, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, man, why don't you keep your dog in your room?
Hey, man, Toe can go anywhere in the house if he wants to, man.
I know, man. That's the trouble with that dog. He goes everywhere in the house, man.
Hey, well, just stay out of my room, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have to, man.
Yeah, you do too, man. Hey, what happened to the rest of the bologna, man?
I ate it.
Hey, man, that was my bologna, man. Your eyes ripped me off for stuff, man.
I paid for over half of that bologna, man.
You did not, man.
And I only had 6 pieces, man.
Yeah, and you only put in 17 cents for that bologna, too, man.
I put in them pop bottles, man.
Which pop bottles?
Them pop bottles, remember? The pop bottles we had by the door?
Hey, man, those were my pop bottles, man. There was 2 orange crushes and a grape. And a big 7-Up, man. They were my pop bottles,
that big
man.
7-Up bottle was mine, man.
It was mine, man.
It was mine, man.
It was mine, man.
I found it, man. I found it out in the garbage, man. Remember?
No, I don't remember, man, because I found it in the empty lot, man.
You never did. That was the bottle we used to revive Strawberry with. Remember?
No, it wasn't, man. We didn't use a 7-Up bottle.
We did so.
We did not, man.
We did so, man.
We did not. That's Strawberry, man.
Go on, you ask him, man.
I don't have to ask him anything, man, because I know I found that 7-Up bottle in an empty lot, man, because I had to clean the dirt clods out of it, man.
Well, that was my bottle, man.
Forget you, man. You ate more than 6 pieces of the bologna, too, man.
I never did,
man. Yes, you did, man.
I never did.
Yes, you did, man.
I never did, man.
Yes, you did, man.
I never did, man. I never did, man.
Hey, did you flush the toilet yesterday, man?
Yeah.
All right, then you gotta clean it up, man.
Why, man?
Man, you know we're not supposed to flush the toilet, man.
Hey, man, get the phone.
Answer the phone!
Hey, man, get the phone. What happened to do?
Answer the phone!
Hello?
Hey, man, listen very carefully, man. Don't answer the phone, man. You got that? Don't answer the phone, even if it's me calling, man. Don't answer because I think the phone is bugged, man. Okay? Okay? Hello?
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 Hey, man, what the hell?
Pedro?
Yeah,
is that you, man?
No, it's Freddy,
hey,
man.
Hey, man, where are you, man?
Well, I'm calling from outside, man, but listen.
Hey, you got the dope?
Hey, man, don't say nothing about
Well, man, you better hurry up and get over here, man. Everybody thinks you ripped them off.
Hey, man, will you cool it, man?
Hey,
listen to
hey,
what
where
I'm...
are you, man?
I'm outside, man. Listen
what, did you forget the address again?
Man, no, I don't.
Now, listen, write it down,
hey,
man.
Don't say nothing about the address of that.
Okay?
God, listen on the own face,
1482 Adams, you got it? Okay. Hey, right be John's van is parked in front. You can't miss it, man. Okay? Hey, did you get the pills too, man? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, man, I gotta hang up. There's someone pounding at the door.
Open up.
Come in with your hands up.
Oh, boy. That's classic stuff. I think that one did age well. Cheech and Chong there, two pieces. First one called the Strawberry Revival Festival. The second one called Don't Bug Me. Did you know when the two pieces separated? What the dividing line was? Shouldn't be too hard. Study it a bit. I'm sure you'll come up with an answer. And that's our tribute for this week to Tommy Chong. And if anyone has further updates as to his whereabouts, please email us, otw@2600.com. No pictures this week, folks, because we have to take a break. Actually, every time we put together a picture show on the internet that goes along with the radio program, I have to drive people crazy as far as putting it all together, getting it in the right order, enlarging it, you know, all that kind of a thing. So I figured, you know, let's take a break from that for a week. Besides, you know, it's a radio show, and we should focus on radio. And we'd like to take some phone calls, which we haven't done in a while. So, you know, all that can be done. And we can talk about the things that we've seen over the past few weeks, which I find amazing that I'm able to actually share the experiences I went through when I was overseas for 6 weeks and taking so many pictures because digital cameras are just so cool. And then being able to show them on the radio, that's really cool. So, and the response we've gotten has been great. And hopefully there's a lot more to come. We can share some other things as well. Last week's show, though, was particularly interesting. I'll get into that a little bit, some of the letters that we got from that later on in the program. For future reference, meaning that maybe in about 20 minutes or so, we'll start taking phone calls if people are out there. And if people aren't out there, well, we can just keep talking away until 7 o'clock. But for future reference, our phone number is area code 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Don't call now. Because if you call now, well, 9 times out of 10, you're just going to get cut off because the phone companies are greedy. You know, they don't let you ring the phone forever like they used to. You know, way back when I used to do radio here back in the 80s and 90s, man, people would be ringing the phone for hours waiting just to make that one clever remark. You know, sometimes it was just a single word, but they would wait for over an hour sometimes, just ringing the phone over and over and over and over and over again. And they never got cut off. But now they get cut off after about 6 rings or 7 rings if no connection is made, because the phone company's not making any money off of that. What are you going to do? Well, as I try to point out to people, this is not a sports program. All right, there's always mix up about that. We don't focus on sports here, but occasionally we do lapse into it. Actually, I don't think we've lapsed into it a single time, but we're going to lapse into it today. Because right now, even as I speak, and please, people, I'm asking this as a favor. I'm not watching the game right now because the Chowderheads decided to schedule it during the precise time that I'm on the air. Okay, so I have my TiVo back home dutifully recording the thing, unless it goes into overtime, in which case I don't know what it's going to do. I'm trying to avoid all contact with anybody that's going to tell me the score. That's why I'm not reading the news, because I'm afraid they might slip the score into the headlines. I don't think it has any place in the headlines, but they might do that anyway. And I'm also going to try to avoid people wherever possible. So it's really, you know, it's a matter of profound trust that I have with the listeners that they don't tell me anything about the score of the game. This game, of course, being the Boston Yankees game, which, you know, I'm not really a big sports fan. I mostly get into rivalries and nationalistic things. You know, like the World Cup, I was really into just watching all the different countries get together and seeing how it all played out. And the Boston-New York thing has always sort of fascinated me because of this intense rivalry. And if you watch the game on, Saturday? It was just simply unbelievable. I have a new hero in my life, okay? This 72-year-old guy, Don Zimmer, right, from the Yankees. Did you see him? Did you see this guy? He went charging out onto the field and tried to tackle the pitcher who he believed had tried to hit the batter. And, you know, I've never seen a 72-year-old man go charging at somebody before. And I was just, like, blown away by that, you know? I mean, yeah, it's frightening, I guess, when you're the person being charged at. But still, it's kind of inspiring in a way. I figure, you know, by the time I reach 72, if I can be charging at people and starting fights, you know, that's not bad. That's not a bad way to be at 72, you know? You kind of have your faculties. You're obviously in good physical shape. And, you know, when you're 72 years old, I think you should be able to start attacking people. You know, I mean, come on, 72 years on this planet is a long time. You should be able to get some payback. And if charging at a pitcher in the middle of a baseball field is the way you do it, then fine. Of course, you know, the next day he said he was sorry and was all tearful, which, you know, I think is kind of a classy thing to do because a lot of people would not take responsibility for their actions. And, yeah, the guy was definitely wrong. I mean, you know, he did charge the guy, and the guy knocked him to the ground. He didn't hit him. He just knocked him to the ground. What are you going to do if some 72-year-old guy or some 30-year-old guy is charging at you full speed? You know, you're going to try to do something to keep yourself from being knocked over. Meanwhile, did you hear Mayor Bloomberg's comments that the guy should be locked up for throwing a 72-year-old man to the ground? It's a bit not exactly accurate, is it? It's not like he said, oh, you know, I think I'm going to knock a 72-year-old man to the ground today. That's my idea of a sporting event. No, the guy was coming at him at like 45 miles an hour. He was aiming to kill him. And so what did he do? He did the only thing he could do. He shoved him aside as he made impact. And that knocked him to the ground. Well, you know, that's what happens when you charge at people. Sometimes you get knocked to the ground. Goes to the territory. So, yeah, you know, Don Zimmer was wrong, completely wrong to do that. But, damn, I got to admire the guy. I really got to admire someone 70. I mean, think of your grandfather. If you still have a grandfather on this earth, he's probably, you know, up there someplace. They usually are. And if you have one that's in their 70s, just try to imagine that guy trying to start a fight with, you know, who knows how old that pitcher was? What is he, 15? I don't know. They get younger every year. I can think of some people, you know, on the Lower East Side that probably would do that. You know, there's people in their 70s, even 80s, that would start fights. And that's great, you know? I think that keeps you strong. When I was overseas, I noticed this every time I go overseas, there are more old people in the streets. And they're taking part in life. You know, they go to the pubs, they walk around the streets. You know, they're not sitting in some rocking chair in a convalescent home someplace. They're part of society. You don't see that enough here. I mean, it's great to get into an argument with somebody, you know, an octogenarian in a pub someplace about the way things used to be. And I think that's what keeps you healthy, keeps you fresh, keeps you living a lot longer, which, you know, is usually a good thing, right? Should be. All right, but anyway, so the game is taking place right now. It's the Boston-New York series. I always find baseball to be a fascinating game because it's unlike all those other games where you just have, you know, the team against the other team and you have a clock and you have a ball that you have to do something with, you know, throw it in something. It all seems to be the same thing. Hockey, basketball, soccer, football, you know, or football, soccer, whatever you want to call it. But baseball is different. Baseball, you have this one-on-one confrontation between the pitcher and the batter, where either one can change the outcome completely based on the most infinitesimal of actions, of movements. And there's all these subtleties. There's all these signals being thrown around. And there's all these bizarre rules, too. You know, just strange things that can happen. And every game is different. Every game is absolutely different. You never know what's going to happen next. You could be behind 6-0 in the last inning and still manage to win. There's no other game you can do that. You know, if you're behind by a good amount with a minute to go in most sports, you know, people are going home. People are already, you know, finding their cars in the parking lot. And baseball can go on forever. If it's tied up, it can go on well into the early morning hours. Which is why taping it on TiVo doesn't always work, but it's it's fun. It's fun to watch, especially this time of year when you have all kinds of, and you know, you have these stories such as Boston and Chicago, two teams that have not won the World Series since when? 1918, 1907? I don't know. It's a long, long time ago. I mean, yeah, they really suck. I mean, how could they be so bad that they don't win the World Series once in people's lifetimes? Chicago and Boston, two fairly big cities, too. But that's the nature of the sport. And, of course, everyone wants to see, and I include people here, everyone wants to see a Boston-Chicago series. A lot of people don't realize this. A lot of people may not know this. And I know we have a lot of listeners from all around the world, around the country, that may not be aware of the fact, and I know that I'm risking a beating in the parking lot again by saying this, but the truth has to be known. I may get a beating in the station from the looks of it. The Yankees are not a popular team in New York. There, I've said it, okay? People here do not want the Yankees to win yet again. We're sick of it. We're absolutely fed up. I mean, come on already. It was fun the first couple of dozen times, but after a while, it just gets boring. Let's let some other teams in there. You know, it's equivalent to the United States leading the world in everything and being the greatest and hearing that day after day after day. You kind of want to hear something else after a while. You kind of want to give some other guy a chance. All right. You want proof? I'll show you proof. Listen to this. Whereas the Chicago Cubs and the Boston Red Sox have not won a World Series in God knows how long, almost 100 years. Wow. I mean, you have expansion teams that have come up in the last 10 years that have won the World Series. As, you know, the funny thing is, it's not even the same team. Obviously, these, you know, they're totally different people on the teams. So it's not like it's even the same team. You know, It's something else. It's not the players. It's, I don't know, what, the location? Something bizarre is going on that makes a team that's comprised of completely different people over the years not win consistently. Like Philadelphia Phillies, when was the last time they won the World Series? I don't know. No one even talks about them. People in Philadelphia pretend they don't know who they are. Well, listen to this. 1923. That's when the Yankees won the World Series for the first time. It's also the first year that they played in Yankee Stadium. And not to be outdone, they won again in 1927, 1928, 1932. Oh, by the way, in 1932, they had a guy named Joe McCarthy as their general manager. And as you all know, he went on to some bigger and more famous things after he was finished with the Yankees. It's true. Look it up. Anyway, 1932, 1936, 1937, 1938, 1939, 1941, 1943, 1947, 1949, 1950, 1951, 1952, 1953, 1956, 1958, 1961, 1962, 1977, 1978, 1981, 1996, 1998, 1999, 2000, and that's it for now. Don't you think that's a bit much? I mean, for one thing, they must be running out of space in the stadium to put all the trophies or whatever it is you get when you win these things. Oh, no, it gets worse. It gets worse because, you know, they didn't win the World Series every year, but they did make it to the finals every year almost. These are the years they made it to the World Series and didn't win, on top of the ones I just named. 1921, 1922, 1926, 1942, 1955, 1957, 1960, 1963, 1964, 1976, and 2001. Good Lord. Somebody's got to stop them. So, of course, everybody in New York is rooting for Boston. That's a fact. That is a fact. Walk around, ask people, and you will see. It just sort of, it loses the fun after a while. It really does. So we're all rooting for a Boston-Chicago series, the matchup of the losers. Yeah, I've heard the jokes, you know. This will be the first World Series where both teams lose and various other things. So they're playing right now game five, tied up at two, something like that. And keep our fingers crossed. And don't tell me the score, please. All right, let's take a look at some listener mail. And you can send your listener mail to otw at 2600.com. We got a lot of translations for the various plaques or monuments that we showed on the air last week in the Sals Pils Memorial in Latvia. This person translated it, translated one of them. There are several, actually. But this is a translation that we got from someone named Bobson. Here people were executed for this, that they were not guilty. Here people were executed for this, that each of them was human and loved their homeland. Interesting. And when you consider that the monument that we looked at last week was a Soviet-style monument to the Holocaust, I don't believe it mentioned the Jewish people once. And there was a lot of talk about solidarity, and here you see loving their homeland and things like that. You know, it kind of misses the point that an entire race of people was practically wiped away. It's a big deal, you know. This person writes in, a coworker of mine has a wife who is Latvian. I was telling him about your show and the pictures from Latvia the other day. When I asked him if his wife could take a look at your pictures and do some translation, he said, sure. That's right. Speak for your wife. His wife's job is a translator, so it should be easy. That sounds pretty cool to me. It turns out she used to live very close to where you were at the Sals Pils Memorial. The stones with the words on it talk about the thousands of people that were there during World War II and how many died there. I don't remember you talking about the lake that was right there, but here's some interesting info on the lake. You're right, I didn't talk about the lake. I didn't even know about the lake. This is the first I am hearing about the lake. The children in the camps were told to dig the lake with their spoons after they had made the lake big enough. They were all put in a house, and then the house was set on fire. Her grandmother's brother was actually in that camp and died shortly after he was released. She even said that when you walk around that place, the constant beating of a heart is very creepy. And a lot of people have commented to me in the last week how creepy that was. I have to tell you, I was blown away by it being there. And I was blown away in a completely different sense by being able to use my camera to record the sound of that beating noise and be able to play it over the air for you last week, as well as show you the pictures. If you missed that show, it's still online at the off-the-wall section of www.2600.com. You can experience the entire thing, see the pictures, hear the sound, and be haunted by it, as I've been ever since. This person offers to do a direct translation of the stones, I certainly would be interested in getting a full translation of whatever it is anybody can translate. And lastly, she said that the memorial was built in 1967 and signed by Kaz, who I believe is from Australia. Thank you very much for sending that in. Yeah, 1967, that was at the height of the Soviet era, and certainly is a Soviet-style memorial. This person writes in, taking a look at different headlines is something I've been enjoying for years. That's one of the things we did last week when we were analyzing the breaking news of Israel striking at Syria and how the different news organizations reported it or didn't report it. But this person decides that their way of doing this is to look at Google News. That's news.google.com. You can quickly look at every related headline by clicking on the related link at the bottom right corner of each story summary, signed Jeff. And Jeff, I'm going to try that next time, see what how different pieces of news are reflected in different forms of media. And you see that all... last week we demonstrated how certain news organizations were just completely taking Israel's word that they were bombing a terror camp. And other more reputable news agencies such as New York Times, BBC, even CNN... in their headlines were saying how, according to Israel, this was the case. It's got nothing to do with whether or not you believe them. That's not your job as a journalist. Your job is to report the facts. And so many news organizations have forgotten that, and they just sort of go along for the ride. You know, there's one thing that really is unbelievable to me, and that's Fox News. Obviously, Fox News is pretty unbelievable to most people. But have you noticed this? Every time there is a suicide bomb, and just, you don't have to wait very long. I'm sure there'll be another one pretty soon. They refer to it in President Bush's lingo. You know, he came up with this brilliant phrase, homicide bomb. Homicide bomb. Oh, you mean it's a bomb that's designed to kill people? Well, that's very different from all those friendly bombs, you know, that aren't designed to kill people. yeah. So they're the only news agency that does that, that I've been able to find anyway. Even the New York Post and the Daily News refer to it by the proper term, suicide bomb. Because, you know, there is a big difference between somebody planting a bomb and running away and somebody strapping a bomb to themselves and blowing themselves up. Okay, it's a difference. You may not like the result, but it's definitely a difference. You know, it takes a different kind of mentality to blow yourself up with something attached to you as opposed to, you know, just hiding it someplace and running away. I'm not saying one is better than another. I'm saying there's a difference. And they're both homicide bombs. It's a ridiculous statement, and I guess it's just meant to divert attention away from the fact that somebody killed themselves to promote a cause. But fact remains they did. Anyway, so if you look at all these news stories, you'll see that Fox is the only one standing out there saying homicide bomb, and everybody else is saying suicide bomb. So, you know, there's all these little subtle things going on in the media that you have to be aware of. Okay, here's another letter. To begin with, I was incredibly moved by the images that you showed on your October 7th show. I know the unsettling feeling of being the only one at an historic site. Here in Montreal, I don't think there was ever a massacre, but there is a lot of history. I've visited statues that no one bothers to read the plaques attached to them. I've read plaques on walls remembering buildings or people that were near them 100 years ago. And I visited parking lots where famous buildings stood and important events occurred. But today, they don't even feature a sign or plaque. And this led me to ask what your guidebooks were on your trip through Poland, Kaliningrad, and Belarus. I never thought of visiting Eastern Europe, but your moving pictures have at least sparked my curiosity. Signed, Raymond. And Raymond, thanks for the letter, and hopefully you'll make it over there someday because it is a very interesting place to visit. The books I used, I used several, actually. I used Let's Go Europe. I used Lonely Planet. And it's funny because a lot of the guidebooks skip over certain countries for no particular reason. Like some of them just skip Belarus. They say, oh, nobody's going to go to Belarus, so we're not going to put that in there. Meanwhile, they have Russia in there, you know, and they have this big gap between Poland and Russia, which I guess to them is no man's land. And then some books skip Kaliningrad, which is that region of Russia to the west that's not attached to Russia. I think if you're going to have a guide to a region, you should have a guide to the entire region and let people decide on their own if they're going to go someplace. I mean, everybody tried to convince me not to go to Kaliningrad. Everyone tried to convince me not to go to Belarus. I'm glad I went to both of those places. I really am. This person wants to know what the song was that we played at the end of the show last week. That was, if I recall correctly, that was Had Enough by The Who, was it not? Yes. Had Enough by The Who from Who Are You? There. Now you know that. Okay, let's take a look at what's going on in the news. Okay, well, speaking of homicide bombs, Homeland Security is warning of pillow bombs. That's right, pillow bombs are now coming. The Department of Homeland Security Tuesday confirmed terrorists have discussed... what are they, just listening in on everything that they say? Hey, Joey, I got a great idea for a bomb here. You're going to love this. And the CIA is standing there with a glass to the door, listening in on this and then reporting it to CNN. All right. Well, they overheard this, apparently. They're discussing. They haven't done it yet, but they're discussing. They're contemplating. They're considering doing this. Using stuffed animals, pillows, and clothing to smuggle explosives aboard commercial airliners. You know, what pisses me off is it's not even their idea. We came up with that idea in Afghanistan, okay? We were smuggling the stuffed animals and toys filled with bombs to the little children in Afghanistan back in the 70s and 80s. This is another example of Reagan not getting the credit he deserves. But, okay, fine. So Al-Qaeda's going to, you know, win on the patent for this one, I guess. Anyway, the explosive is known as nitrocellulose. It's a propellant for ammunition and some rockets. It's extremely flammable when packed in a sturdy container. The department issued a warning about the possible use of nitrocellulose on August 8th to airport managers. Not that they're only going to use it on August 8th. That's when they issued the... Okay. To airport managers, state and local law enforcement, and border agents after receiving actionable intelligence that Al-Qaeda or other terrorist groups are trying to exploit this explosive method, which can be used 365 days of the year. And Tuesday was the first day the media reported the warning. Well, now that's an interesting statement, isn't it? They issued a warning on August 8th, and the media reports it on, what, October 14th? Nice going. Oh, well, unless we're not supposed to know about the warnings. Is that how it works? Okay, well, Avoid stuffed animals, pillows, and clothing. You know, there was a concert in Central Park a couple of weeks ago. I forget the guy's name. He bores me. You know the guy. He has his own name in the band. It's the whatever, whatever band. Yeah, we all know who we're talking about here. They gave a free concert, or he gave a free concert in the park. And, you know, I was listening to the radio, listening to the news station, because I was going into the city. Not for that, God forbid. No, I was going in for something else. In fact, I think I had the other radio show that night. And they were warning about the three B's that were not allowed in the park, in the free concert area. No bottles, no backpacks, no blankets. No bottles, no backpacks, no blankets. I mean, good Lord, all right. I was just at a concert in Helsinki for the Leningrad Cowboys, which I guess we'll get to at some point when I get to that part of the trip. Leningrad Cowboys are an amazing band. They're sort of like Elvis meets the Red Army Choir. Don't ask. You'll find out in due time. But we must have had about, I don't know, 50, 60,000 people packed into what's known as Senate Square. It's right in the middle of town. Right in the middle of town. These old ancient buildings. And everybody just gathered there for a free concert. And it wasn't the first time this happened. It happens, you know, every year there's a concert of some sort during a festival. And they probably have all kinds of other activities and events there. Well, I saw blankets there. I saw backpacks there. In fact, I even had one. And everybody had bottles of something to drink. I don't mean plastic bottles. I mean glass bottles. Yeah, everybody had glass bottles. And a lot of them had alcohol in them. Yes, a lot of these bottles had beer. Some people had wine. Some people had hard stuff. You know, they brought whatever it was they felt like bringing. And I think during that entire evening, I saw one drunk person who was dealt with by the crowd. He was being a little bit too aggressive with some young ladies, and basically these other people just stood up and told him, "You will leave now." And he totally did. Didn't argue or anything. And there was no violence. And you know what else? I didn't see a single policeman. Not anywhere. No cops. So you had this concert in the middle of the city with bottles and backpacks and blankets all over the place. You had no violence. You had no cops. And no pillow bombs or anything like that. So here in Central Park in New York City, bottles, forget it. Backpacks, no way. But not even blankets. You're sitting on a field. You're sitting on a field in the middle of a park, and you can't bring a blanket? What are you going to do, smother somebody? What is wrong with us? What's happened to this country? You can't bring a blanket to a concert. I just want to hear the rationale. You know, what can you do with a blanket? I'm sure people will come up with something. But the point is, at some point, we have to start trusting people. And we have to start acting like adults. If they can drink in public in Helsinki, I think we can sit on blankets in public in New York City. That's just my way of looking at it. But yeah, so we got to be careful of the toys and blankets and God knows what else. Let's see. Okay, I got all kinds of feedback. I only read some of it from the show last week. And a lot of it was in person, too. You know, some people actually, I get accused of all kinds of things. I've been accused of being a Zionist. I've been accused of being a member of the PLO. I've been accused of, I guess if I get everybody angry on all different sides, I'm doing something right. Because I'm not aligning myself with any particular group of people. And what's going on in the world these days, you have to be careful of that. You have to be careful to simply blindly accept one side over another. And I see so many people doing this with the situation in the Middle East right now, where people simply buy into one side and completely ignore the other side. And you know what? It just ain't like that. the situation is so horrible on all sides that, you know, you got to turn a critical eye in as many different directions as possible. One of the reasons I wanted to focus on what we focused on last week, namely the memorials to the Holocaust that exist in various parts of Eastern Europe and how they aren't maintained and how the population of Jews in Europe has been decimated, was to show people one side of the entire issue, where you have a people who have been completely, almost completely wiped away. And maybe that will lead to some understanding as to what's going on in a different part of the world in a different time. And to give you an example of some of this, in Germany, for instance, prior to World War II, 525,000 Jews in Germany. Today, 95,000. Even in countries like England, let's see if I have the figures here. Actually, England is almost equal. They had about 300,000, and now they're up to 276,000. But other places, Yugoslavia, for instance, 70,000 prior to World War II. Today, 1,700. You know, and this is something that's every country, virtually every country in Europe, you can look at and see a similar type of a situation. And it's sad. It's incredibly... the Netherlands, a country you would expect to be extremely tolerant to all kinds of people, and obviously a lot of horrible things happen there. Their population, 160,000 today, 26,500. Now, I think a lot of the reason is that people have not repopulated areas because they feel that all support must go to Israel, and they don't want to be where they obviously weren't welcomed in the past. And I just think that's a huge mistake, because for one thing, what Israel is doing, I think, is more to the detriment of Jews everywhere than almost any other country. That doesn't mean that I don't support its existence. I support some changes, and a lot of people... This is what I think is the biggest hope over there. A lot of people there want to change things. A lot of people there want peace. They want things to work out. They want to get rid of the idiots who are running things right now. But at the same time, I think it's essential that you don't put all of your eggs in one basket, that you spread out throughout the world. You go back to those places where they tried to wipe you out. You go back there in strength. And a lot of the reaction that that you get when you suggest something like this is, well, you know what? It's just going to happen again. They're just going to try it again. And there's only one answer to that. Let them try. Let them try. You have to confront issues head on. If you get kicked out of some place, you go back. If you get treated badly, you challenge it. And you see what's happening today? What's happening today is that people are turning a blind eye to that and focusing only on the horrible things that are going on in the Mideast right now, which are really shameful in many ways. Not just on one side, all sides. I mean, have you ever tried to live in a city where you don't know what's going to blow up next? What do you think that does to you? What do you think that turns you into? And right now, that's what's happening over there. People are turning into... countries are turning into horrible places. And there's no sign of it ever ending. There have to be some major, major changes. And unfortunately, that road does not seem to be the one that people are traveling down right now, which is why it's essential for there to be other avenues so people don't simply look at Israel and equate that with what Jews of the world stand for. It's not. It's one thing. It's one thing that some people believe in. Not everybody. Certainly not the way things are going right now. Here's something. Now, this is a great magazine, Harper's. And I found this the other day. I thought this was simply amazing. Let me see if I can track it down. Every month they publish a page called the Harper's Index filled with facts, such as percentage of Americans who believe that George W. Bush was legitimate elected president, 54, as opposed to 56 in March 2001. Okay, here it is. Percentage of Palestinians in refugee camps who say that given a choice, they would live nowhere but Israel. Okay, number of Palestinians who would refuse to live anywhere but Israel. The percentage, 10%. Not 99, not 56, 10. The percentage who say they would accept compensation and homes in a Palestinian state, 54. And the percentage of Jewish settlers in the West Bank and Gaza who say they would relocate if compensated, 83. 83% of Jewish settlers would relocate if they were compensated. This can be worked out. But you have zealots, you have fanatics, you have people that refuse to back down an inch, and they dictate policy, and that happens all around the world. And you have to recognize it, you have to confront it, you have to challenge it. And I'm getting pretty sick of people who refuse to compromise in any way and think that their way is the only way. Boy, I get into some big arguments about this. I mean, you know, the whole thing with God getting involved. Have you gotten into this argument ever? Oh, God promised us this land. Oh, come on. Keep God out of it. God's not an idiot. I mean, okay, look. Can we all agree on this? God is not an idiot. Can we? I mean, I know there are people out there who don't believe in God. Fine. Agnostics, atheists, all that kind of thing. And that's fine. But there are lots of people who do believe in God. And of those people, I don't think I've ever heard of any particular faction who believes in God and says that God is stupid. God's an idiot. God doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I've never seen people like that. If you believe in God, you tend to think that, you know, he's the guy that's got it all together, or she's the whatever. Okay, so can we agree, if we believe in God, that we think that God is not an idiot, that God is a smart person or entity or whatever you want to call him, her, it, whatever. Okay? So if God really meant to give land to people, why would he simply tell them thousands of years ago and not tell the other people? Wouldn't he make it clear to everybody, you know, hey, guys, over here, this land is yours, okay? You tell the other guys, I'm going to, you know, go and smote somebody someplace. Yeah, you take care of that. I mean, that's a dirty trick. That's what that is. That's a way to get your ass kicked for centuries to come. And now, today, you have all this high technology. You have the internet. You have CNN. You have Al Jazeera. You've got all of this media. You have this way of reaching so many people at once. So if God really meant to proclaim that this land belongs to these people and this land belongs to those people, all he has to do is snap his fingers and appear on a satellite someplace and just make it clear, you know? Make it clear to everybody at once. And yeah, there'll be some panicking in the streets, some, you know, all kinds of mayhem for a little while. It won't be any worse than what it is now. But he will have spoken. And it won't be written in some, you know, text from thousands of years ago that they just dig up from a desert. This will be fresh in everybody's mind. So, you know, if God really meant to do these things, and if there is a God, and if he's not an idiot, he's going to make it clear, okay? So don't go around quoting things from thousands of years ago and expecting that to last until now and have some kind of impact on people who don't believe it. You're never going to get anywhere with that kind of logic. I just can't understand why people are surprised when debates follow that kind of a statement. God promised us this land. I mean, that's, there are many reasons why the state of Israel should exist. That is not one of them. All right, I've gone on a real tirade here. So maybe I should just take some phone calls and cut my losses. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. See if anybody's out there. What else is going on? Oh, boy, the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. Look at this. Suicide blast near the Turkish embassy in Iraq. The Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's take a phone call. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, is the hands-free too much for you? Should I pick it up?
No, you're fine so far. Are you in a car?
I am.
Okay, well, then don't sacrifice your life to say something on the radio.
Please, safe motorist.
Yeah, be a safe motorist. And also, don't tell me what's going on with the baseball game. I don't want to know.
I understand. I was just checking it myself.
Okay. Don't give me any hints like, boy, you're going to love it when you do see it, or boy, it's really boring, you're not missing anything, or it's in the eighth inning, or anything like that, because any little bit of information is something I don't want to know.
I promise I won't.
All right, thank you very much. Now, what's on your mind?
I wanted to ask you a question. You were talking about Al Jazeera a little while ago.
Well, I just mentioned them in passing, but yeah.
Right, and I have the Dish Network, and you can subscribe to that channel.
That's right.
Okay. Obviously, I'm not going to understand the language, but I'm dying to know what kind of pictures and what kind of propaganda and stuff that they're spreading to their own people. Do you think I'd get put on some kind of list or something if I decide to subscribe to that channel?
Well, you know, my way of dealing with the threat of being put on lists is to just get as many people onto those lists as possible. If you think there's an actual threat that if you read something or watch something or say something, that is going to make you a suspect, I think you have the obligation to do just that, because you should have the right to watch and read and say whatever you want. Now, with regards to Al Jazeera and the kinds of things they broadcast, it's easy to recognize the propaganda because it's alien to us, and it's completely different than anything we've ever seen. But it's nothing compared to some of the propaganda channels that you will see over there. And, you know, there are channels in the Arab world that just simply broadcast, martyrdom type stuff with Israeli soldiers firing into crowds and things like that. You know, not just to report the news, but to rile people up. I don't think Al Jazeera does that. I think they try to be a bit more objective. Obviously, no news agency is 100% objective, but I do think it's important for us to see what it is they're saying, to try and understand their perspective on the news, and to not try and cut them off if we don't agree with their conclusions. And by the way, I do think that there is an English version, or there's going to be an English version of that channel pretty soon, so you will be able to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, because I thought I might want to know what's kind of going on. You know, I look at all the local news and that whole bit,
uh-huh.
But I was just sort of curious, because then there's a lot of stuff that we don't get to see here.
And that's one of the reasons I'm always pushing BBC on people, because...
I like BBC.
Yeah, and if you were able to get it 24 hours a day like they do in the rest of the world, you would see so many things that you don't see now and get different perspectives. And hopefully that will happen soon if enough people put pressure on. But not just them. You know, Deutsche Welle and all kinds of other news agencies out there have different perspectives of the news. And it's vital that we... You know, we expose ourselves to as much of that as possible. If you read the New York Times every day, I think you'll get a good sense of what's going on in the world. Obviously, they don't cover everything. Obviously, they're far from perfect. But they're better than most of what's out there right now.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm sure they're better than The Pest or Newsday or anything.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, Statesman is better, the campus paper here on campus. it's a big world out there. We don't spend enough time learning about what's happening. And I think that leads to us not understanding things.
Yeah, I was sort of curious about that, because like I said, there are lots of, I think I get BBC Two, I think it is. It's on the Dish Network as well.
You get BBC Two? No, you probably get BBC America.
That's it. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, and what's happened to that channel is simply horrible. They've turned it into a fashion channel and gardening and things like that. It's run by the Discovery Network, which is an American network. And they've completely destroyed. They took Coronation Street off the air, for God's sake. They're taking all the British shows off and just replacing them with the things that get ratings. And it really, it's not the same channel that it started out as several years ago. It's unfortunate.
Like The Royal Family, that was funny too.
Yeah, and the British version of Coupling, you know, which has turned into an American show, which really stinks. But the British version is great, and also this amazing show called The Office. You know?
Yeah, that was on. Wait, that's not on anymore?
No, that is on. But that's an example of some of the best things that they have. They used to have so much more of it. You know, they used to have a program called The League of Gentlemen that was on, and they just were a lot more cutting edge. And now it's just simply, you know, Trading Spaces or whatever the name of that show is, Home Invaders, you know, where they make people's homes. Yeah, it's the same thing over and over again. And I think, you know, there's so much variety over there, we should be seeing it. And it's just a shame that something as good as the BBC can actually be destroyed in this country.
Yeah, well, I guess it's par for the course, though. But we still got our Blackadder, right?
Yeah, you know, I wish they'd show that more often. I really do.
It's actually pretty funny.
It's great. It's great. Yeah, the British humor, I think, is just unbelievable. And I think you need that to stay sane.
I'll go along with that.
All right, where are you calling from?
Got friends.
Sorry?
We've got friends, don't we?
I'm not understanding what you're saying.
This country, we have friends, and that's supposed to make us laugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true.
You throw up, actually. I'm in Port Jeff, actually.
Oh, you're local?
Yeah.
Okay, well, be careful driving around there, because I know they have some pretty mean hills.
Oh, I will do just that.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call, and drive carefully.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. So we are getting local listeners, which is always nice to have. And, gosh, is the internet up? I don't know. No internet calls so far. 631-632-WUSB. We're almost out of time. But yeah, you need to be able to see those different perspectives of world events in order to... wow, that's loud, isn't it? This person's coming right in on the board there. I can fix that by pressing this button. No, I can't. Okay. All right, let's take this phone call. And good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel. Yeah, that was really loud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty loud. I mean, you always barge into people's homes like that?
Oh, I try to.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brentwood, Long Island.
Oh, so you're local, too. Yeah, I'm wondering if is anybody on the internet listening? I'd like to know now. what's on your mind?
Well, I've been a long listener of yours on both channels, both stations. Anyway, the reason I'm calling right now is about the Britcoms that you guys may know that Long Island Channel 21.
Uh-huh.
Every Friday night from 8 till 11, they show nothing but Britcom.
That's true. A lot of PBS stations do that. PBS stations show BBC News. I just wonder why we need to use the PBS stations to do something that should have a full-time channel doing it, you know?
But, yeah, right. Actually, on Cablevision out here, I can't even get BBC.
Well, you're not missing anything. The American version, you are not missing a thing. BBC World is the station that has the news 24 hours a day with no commercials, and that's something that they don't have in America. I get that through the Canadian dish. And hopefully they'll have that soon so people can actually see another perspective to the news.
The way things are here now lately, you know, that's probably not likely to happen very soon.
Well, you know, I think it's likely if people know about it and if they speak up and demand it, you know.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, people aren't aware of it, so they don't know what to ask for.
Exactly. That's why I figured I'd mention, you know, that every Friday night they can watch so many cool things, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of great shows.
Yeah, but, you know, public television the BBC is public television in England. They're able to produce all this amazing stuff. Why can't we in this country produce things that are equivalent? You know, we simply borrow from other countries, but we don't make our own stuff that's really good.
You know, it's weird. Have you seen the American version of Coupling?
I've just heard really, really, really bad things about it.
I've seen the first couple of episodes, and I know that the first few episodes, they took the same script from the uh-huh. British series.
Yeah, the same exact script.
It was weird, because I've seen the British series a lot. I watch it every Friday, and watching these American actors do it, it was almost like a play within a play. It was an odd, little bastard child.
I mean, not only do they not have the imagination to come up with their own show, they can't even come up with their own scripts.
And the delivery was everything.
Yeah. Of course. British delivery is completely different than American. Listen, we're out of time. Thanks thanks for your call. Keep listening. Tomorrow night, Off the Hook, we're 2 hours in length, 7 to 9 o'clock. It's a fundraiser over at the other radio station, so please be generous. It's also the only time we're going to be on with that fundraiser. So we'll be back again here next week with another action-packed edition of Off the Wall. And I guess we'll see you then. Keep thinking. Keep those alternate thoughts alive. And... hey, if you ever have to say goodbye to somebody and you're happy about it, this is a good song for that that moment in your life. See you next week.
It's all a matter of soul and fire. Infatuation or true desire. The thrill of discovery. Bye.
But I think our love is coming.